speaking to his disciples. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. As we continue our message series on relationships, relating love, relating in love, or however you want to say that, we wanted to talk a little bit, or I wanted to talk a little bit about marriage. And this message has really changed since I first started working on it. I don't want to talk this morning about just defining marriage or just giving you good dating advice, you know, if you're looking for a spouse. But I want to talk about something that comes out, or at least for me, and this is really a personal message, I guess you could say, about something that I went through that I just feel like marriage is what brought it out in me, I guess you could say, or exposed it. And that's what happens a lot of times is when you're in a relationship, it exposes things about ourselves, sometimes things that are really awesome and wonderful, and sometimes things that aren't so awesome. and so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I'm going to just keep this short, I think, or I'm going to try to. A few years ago, Corlissa and I probably went through what was one of our toughest times in our marriage. Yeah, it was tough. We have been married now for about 11 years, I think. Right? Yeah. 11 years. But it's interesting because during this time we had run headlong, and it was both of us, but I'll take the blame. We had run headlong into this idea of what marriage was supposed to look like. We were chasing after something. And really what it was a chasing after was this idea we had of the perfect marriage and of basically a lifetime of perfect, like the honeymoon marriage or ecstatic emotional connection all the time, that kind of thing, which isn't bad. Like, it's not bad to have good connections and things like that and to work on some of those things. But this was actually, it became kind of an aim for us as a couple to achieve this. But what was interesting is that because it was an aim for us, it actually started to wreck us because we were seeking this thing we thought that we could attain to that kept escaping us. And there was a lot going on during this time of our lives. And so, of course, there's always a big web of things that happen whenever you have tough times in relationships. But basically, the things that I was trying to do was, in order to have a so-called perfect marriage, I was trying to do things to basically get Corlissa to love me more, okay? And so what I was doing was I was operating from a position of getting love, okay? And what this did for me, or what how this happened, was I would read books maybe, or I would mainly read books and resources that were basically telling me my marriage wasn't good enough, it could be better, which, of course, marriage can always be better, relationships can always be better. But these are the strategies and the things that you need to do in order to have the perfect marriage. So I was chasing after those types of things. Give me the 1, 2, 3s, the ABCs to how to have a perfect marriage. So I was chasing after these things, and she just wasn't getting it. And I was like, okay, we're supposed to have a perfect marriage, right? That's what we want. And you know, it'd be really nice to have the perfect marriage because if we could just do these steps, if we could just do these steps, and, you know, I would have this experience in this, people would start getting envious of our perfect relationship, and then they could come to me with all their problems. I would know all their problems, and then I could tell them what to do. And then they could have the perfect marriage, and it would be awesome. And so I was turning to all these methods and maneuvers to try to, you know, get her to, you know, I don't know, have the perfect marriage. And we actually, we did live this way for a couple years, I will say. And it was pretty devastating on our marriage. And I was getting very desperate for things to change. And the reason was, I think, is because I just got plain down exhausted. Exhausted. I was exhausted with all this stuff that I was supposed to do. Stuff and more stuff. And it wasn't working out right. I was trying this, trying that. And I remember this particular morning, I didn't feel connected to my wife. I didn't feel, you know, any of that. And I came to this point where I was, like I said, I was exhausted and I was desperate for something to change. And this particular morning, I woke up and I sat down on my couch and I got my Bible out. Yes, pastors read their Bible once in a while. And I just cried out to God. I said, God, I've done all these things. It's not working out. I'm supposed to have this perfect marriage. Perfect family, all this stuff, and it's just nothing is working. And I knew in that moment, I was like, all right, I'm just going to read some scripture about, you know, husbands and wives, because I know it's in the Bible. And so I opened to Ephesians 5 because I knew that it talked about husbands in there. So I turned to Ephesians 5:25, and it says, husbands, love your wives. And this is Paul, he's talking to the church in Ephesus. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I stopped, and all of a sudden, it struck me. Because I realized in that moment that was all God was asking of me. And it freed me. He was saying, Ben, love your wife. That was it. But how? Give me a method. Give me a something. No, Ben, love your wife. No special methods. No maneuvering. No hidden agenda. And I'm going to tell you, for the first time in a long time, when I went down and started getting breakfast around, and my wife was down there. For the first time, I felt empathy. I had feelings for her. And that began for me a journey of kind of analyzing this whole thing of loving my wife. And I had to ask myself, what am I loving? Or who am I loving? Who am I really married to? I realized that now that I look back, I realize that what I was actually loving, I think, was probably just my own projection of something, and that was probably marriage. I was valuing what I thought marriage should be more than my own wife. And really, in the end, I was just loving myself in that. So often in a marriage relationship, we can operate out of from a position to get love versus from a position of being loved. I was working in a way that was maneuvering about how I can get my wife to love me so that we can have the perfect marriage. I was loving the idea of a perfect marriage, of what a perfect marriage is, more than I was loving my wife. I was working in this way that was saying, what can I do so that she will make us look good to the world and to our community? I was loving the idea of a good reputation more so than I was loving my own wife. And it was almost like God was saying, you know what? Give it up. Don't worry about all that stuff. I'm not telling you that you have to have the perfect marriage or the perfect children or enough money or the best reputation or the perfect environment, the perfect household, or even the perfect relationship, but you are simply to love. Don't love your idea of what marriage ought to be, but love your wife. It's not about loving the result of love, the symptoms of love, but it is simply to love. And to love what? To love who? God loves you. Jesus said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Now, Jesus was speaking here to his disciples. And yeah, he talks about loving enemies, and he talks about lending money and lending your possessions to others. And basically, he's like, don't expect any return on it. And when I read that, I'm always convicted, right? Because it's like, oh man, I gotta love more, I've gotta lend more. But then it struck me too that, you know, I don't think Jesus would tell us to do something that he hasn't already done or that God hasn't done already. You see, Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves you. Jesus doesn't just love what you can give him. Jesus loves you. Jesus doesn't love just what you can produce. Jesus loves you, the person, and the church. Are we living from a position of being loved by God? God's not up there trying to manipulate you, all right, and control you and say, okay, I'm going to, you know, make you do this one thing so that you will love me. He's not trying to manipulate you. He loves you. He gave up his life for you, and he gives you eternal life. What greater love is there? What greater love is there? Our culture is starving for love. Our world is starving for love. And your spouse is starving for love. What if we loved in such a way that we expected nothing in return? What if we could be delivered, really, from the modern demands of love, where we're always trying to get love, and just simply understand that God loves us and we can live out of that love? What if instead of trying to win God's love, we simply accepted God's love and dwelt in God's love? And then maybe love our spouse from the position of being loved instead of trying to get love. Said I was going to keep it short, I'm going to keep it short. In that experience that I said with Corlissa and I had, it was a deep experience. And I don't know how to explain that other than what I shared. But sometimes I think we like to marry other things. We like to love other things more than our own spouse. So this is just really a call for you all, whether you're married or not, to understand that you're loved by God and to operate from a position of being loved instead of trying to get love. And I'd encourage you, if you are married or if you're ever planning on getting married, I think there's something that we need to grab hold of. We need to remember who or what we are to love. And that's that simple. And I know you're going to ask the first thing, well, how do I love? How do you love? I'm not going to tell you how to love, but I am going to tell you to love. I'm going to give this opportunity to, if you are here and you've never understood God, that like God would love you, and what that means to live from a position of being loved versus trying to always get love, I want to invite you in your heart, right where you're at, just understand that God does love you, and not just what you can produce, not what you can just give to him. What we give and what we produce comes out of that loving relationship, okay? So don't chase after that stuff. Chase after God. Chase after loving, and love the person. Love, if you're married, love your spouse. So I just want you to, if you've never understood him that way, I ask that you would accept his love in that way.